message. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness, therefore the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. And then he goes on and talks about a list of different things, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, so on and so forth. And then verse number 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. There's a lot of people in our society that may not have been for the judging of the Supreme Court, but they have changed their Facebook profiles to show the rainbow colors and so on and so forth in support of this. And we know that we don't support it. Amen? And I hope that this is recording. But our church does not give a blessing for the homosexual lifestyle that is going on. And if you are a part of this lifestyle, I'm not here to condemn you tonight. I'm not here to make you feel upset. I'm just here to tell you what the Word of God says. Amen. So if you are offended tonight, I apologize. But sin is sin. Amen? And what's wrong is what's wrong. If we would take a look at nature, would you see how nature would do? I don't want to get too informal here, but if you take a male dog and another male dog, and you let that male dog try to get fresh with that other male dog, he's going to get crunk with him real quick. Amen? You don't see that happening. It's not a part of nature. Same thing with a female dog and another female dog. You're not going to see that happen. But somehow in our thinking, we think it's okay. Society has passed a law now that it's okay. But I just want you to know here tonight that just because they choose that lifestyle does not mean that we don't love them. Amen? We can still love that person for who they are. Not for what they're doing, but for who they are. Because the Bible says, lest were some of you. You may not have been in that specific lifestyle, but you may have had sin in your life. And God reached down and he took all that stuff away and you are redeemed now. Amen? But the same way with them. They can be redeemed. They can be saved. Their lifestyle can be changed. And we pray that their lifestyle can be changed. Amen. One thing that we have to understand is that we are not judged by what society does and what government does. We are judged by what the Word of God says. And at the end of the day, Brother Cofer, that's all that matters. Is what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say about it? I'm pretty sure whenever they were in there voting on this day, they weren't looking at Romans chapter 1, because hopefully one of them would have said, "Hey guys, this may not be a right decision." But I doubt very seriously that they were considering what the Word of God said about it. But they were going off of what they felt, what society was going on, how people were pushing. But so I want you to know here tonight that we do not bless this. Amen. We don't condemn it. God is the author and the finisher of all of our faith. He is the one who judges in the end. Amen. So I would ask you, and I would recommend that you not treat these people any different, because of the fact that you wouldn't treat somebody who is in a relationship of adultery or fornication, you wouldn't treat them any different. Amen. Somebody may be addicted to drugs or alcohol, you wouldn't treat them any different. You would love them, not love what they're doing, but you would still love them. Amen. So that's what I'm going to say about that. Amen. All right, now on to preaching. If you'll stand with me tonight, Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 20. Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 20. And I'm not going to be very long tonight. Y'all have heard preachers say that before. And 2 hours later, in closing, Genesis 18 and 20. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. As we read on here, we see that Abraham stood before the Lord, and he was basically standing in the gap for all these people. We got to be gap standers. We got to stand in the gap for these people who have now, the Lord has turned their mind over to a reprobate mind. Amen. We got to stand in the gap for these people. Amen. Just like Abraham did whenever God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And if we keep reading Genesis 23, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within a city. Wilt thou destroy it and not spare this place for 50 righteous that are therein?" Amen. Let's pray tonight, and let's ask God to bless us in this message. Jesus, we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would touch us tonight. God, you know our minds and our heart. You know our thinking. You know your will for our life. And we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would minister to us tonight. Touch my brother that's sitting beside me. Touch my sister that's sitting beside me tonight, Lord God. Let them receive exactly the word that you have for us tonight, God. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated tonight. We have to stop looking at what our government is doing or not doing. We got to stop looking at what our government is upholding or not upholding. We got to stop looking at what laws they're passing and what laws that get broken or the laws that get knocked down. And we got to start looking at the Word of God. Amen. We got to get back to what brought our granddaddies and our grandmamas to the truth. Amen. We got to get back to the Word of God. We can't be focused on what's happening around us with our government, with our culture, because we know that it's going downhill. Amen? We know it's headed in a dark path. But we got to get back to the Word of God, which preaches truth, which encourages us, which helps us when we're broken, which helps us and lifts us up, amen, when things are going bad in our lives. But we got to stop looking at our government, things that are going on. How many of you like bad news? Amen. Well, if you look at the news nowadays, you will be full of bad news. I basically stopped listening to all of it because of the depression that it had put up on my life. Started making me fearful of what was going to happen. Amen. I'm not saying that it's not good to know what's going on, but too much of that stuff will get you fearful, Brother Adams. It make your inside start, you know, man, I wonder what's going to happen next. I don't know about you, but I instead of looking at this, I'm going to look towards God and to what His Word says. Amen? Because we know what happens in the end, that we are victorious through Him. Amen? As long as we stay faithful, as long as we stay in His Word and in the truth and in His kingdom, amen, we will be victorious in the end. We can't live our life by what sinners are doing or what they're not doing. We can't sit around here with our heads sunk down and saying, man, I wish God would send us people into the church. Whether they're here or not, Brother Dickerson, we still got to have church. Amen. We got to make sure that our house is clean. We got to make sure that our soul and our mind and our spirit is in connection with the King. Amen. So that way when they walk in the doors, we're ready, amen, to help them and to minister to them. Whether they're here or not, amen, we can't live our lives worried about what sinners are doing or what they're not doing. Now we can pray for them and we can encourage them and we can invite them to church, amen, but we can't be discouraged by this. Amen. We can't be discouraged by this. We got to make sure that we're right. Amen. We have to hold fast to the Word of God and what's right. Here in the last couple of weeks, I've been saying this a lot about parents. Make sure you're teaching your kids what's right and what's wrong. Because if you don't, somebody else is going to. And more than likely, it's not going to be something that you would have taught them. You wouldn't have taught them that way. Amen. Our school system nowadays, it's headed in a dark direction. We talked about it last week. Amen. I'm going to say this from the pulpit. If you can homeschool your children, I would encourage you to do so this year. Amen. Starting in August. Don't let them back in that mess. All you're doing is confusing your child. Amen. I know that some of you can't do that, but if you can, I'd recommend you homeschool your kids. Amen. I believe it won't be too long and there will be a law against homeschooling your kids and they'll have to go to a public school. So get them while you can. Amen. Amen. Get them while you can. There's a lot of talking going on right now about all the changes and stuff that's happening in the world and society and governments and laws. And the Bible tells us that when these things start to happen, look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Again, we can't be worried about all the things that are going on around us, but we got to make sure that our home is right. Witnessing to our brothers and our sisters and our classmates and our coworkers is good. If they all come and get saved in Jesus' name, amen, that's awesome. But then you wind up dying and going to hell yourself. What have you profited? Amen? So the first thing that we have to do, church, is we got to make sure that our home is right. We got to make sure that it's swept. We got to make sure that it's clean. Amen? You know how you do that, right? Pray. Get on your knees and ask God to help you. Amen. We're hearing wars and rumors of war, all this stuff going on with ISIS and the seasons changing. Amen. How much rain did we have in the last couple of months? My. Tons of it. Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. We just heard from God Almighty earlier speak to us, saying that the coming of the Lord is very near. What is near to us? Near to me, Brother Kofor, is in the next 5 minutes. Near to God may be another year or two. You never know. That's why we got to make sure that our home front is right. We got to always be ready and stay ready, not getting ready at the last moment. Amen. In Noah's day, God destroyed the people off the face of the earth except for Noah and his family. Because of what? Because of the horrible things that were going on in their lives. If you look at Genesis 10 chapters later, he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah for basically the same mess that was happening there. He goes in and destroys it because of the fact. Sodom and Gomorrah had become sister cities. They defied God in many ways, and the cry of their sins went up to God. Do you believe that the cry of the sins of the people are going up to God now? And the Lord is saying, I mean, of course, he knew it was going to happen. But he's probably thinking, yep, you are falling in the pattern. You're falling in the pattern. How many of you ever heard that history repeats itself? Yeah. History repeats itself. And I believe God is getting at the point that he's getting fed up. He says, okay, time's drawing near. You better get your life ready. But while homosexuality has long been thought it was the sin that caused these cities to be destroyed, ultimately, it is not the reason. Sure, it probably has something to do with it. And when we look at the story of the angels coming into the city, Lot had to get them and yank them in the house, and the men were beating on the door. Hey, give us those men so we may have our way with them. It probably has something to do with the city being destroyed. But when the prophets listed Sodom's sins, they never mentioned homosexuality. Y'all are shocked, aren't y'all? When the prophets listed the sins of Sodom, they never mentioned homosexuality. Now, Ezekiel, however, he did mention that they had committed abominations before God. So I guess that qualifies. Amen. The prophet pointed out several other specific problems that God took offense to. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 16 and 49. Ezekiel 16 and 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughter. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty, committed abominations before me. Therefore, this is God saying, therefore I took them away as I saw good. It's sad that God has to get to a point to where he destroys something to say that it's good. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. When God created Adam, why did he create him? To have communion with him, to have a relationship with him. And then several decades and centuries later, he has to destroy people because of the sins that are in their lives. I don't believe God intended for this to happen, to create Adam and then have to kill people because of their sins. But it does happen. And it will happen again. Amen. Because we read the Bible. In Revelations, it talks about it. Amen. Not everybody's going to go to heaven. And if you've been told that, I'm sorry, but not everybody's going to go to heaven. You got to make sure and get your ticket. Amen. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptized in the name of Jesus and living right. Amen. So what was the final nail in the coffin, so to say, for Sodom and Gomorrah? It was that God is standing before Abraham and he requests that the cities not be destroyed if there are 50 righteous people. And God said, okay, if there's 50, I won't destroy it. Then he says, well, if there's 40. And God said, okay, if there's 40, I won't destroy it. And so on and so forth, it goes 50, 40, 30, 10, 20, 10. And then if you notice that at 10, the Lord says, okay, if there's 10, I won't destroy it. Abraham stopped at 10. The power of prayer that he was praying to God, saying, hey, will you save the city if there's 50? Lord said, yes. 40, yes. 30, yes. 20, yes. 10, yes. Then Abraham stopped. What would have happened if Abraham would have said, Lord, if there's 3 righteous in Sodom, could you save it? And who's to say that we have a merciful God that he would have said, okay, for 3, I'll save the city. But Abraham stopped praying. The power of prayer, church. If we get to a point that we stop praying for those that are counting on us and those who need something from God, if we stop praying, there's no lifeline for them. Amen? What would have happened if Abraham would have said, hey, Lord, what about 3? Will you save the city if there's 3? You see, because God is looking for the righteous people. Amen. He came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. But at the end of the day, he's looking for those who are righteous. He's looking for those who are living for him. Amen. He's looking for those who have been baptized in Jesus' name and been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And have fruit of the Spirit in their life. That's who he's looking for. Amen. You see, God knew how many homosexuals there were in that city. He also knew how many busy and arrogant and overfed and unconcerned people were there as well. Do we live in that kind of society today? Amen. You can look at me and see that I'm overfed. Amen. Amen. But we live in a society that we're arrogant, we're busy. Yesterday we were in Canton, and there was a woman that was standing on the bridge of I-20 there with the American flag. She was waving at the people. My wife said, you know what? A lot of other people should be there, standing there with her. And I said, yeah, babe, but, you know, they're so busy. You know, it's first Monday weekend. There's people everywhere. 4th of July, too. It's horrible. I was just like, you know, people are so busy. They don't have time to you know, stop for a few minutes and walk out there with her with the American flag. I got to thinking about that. You know, we are so busy with our life. Sometimes my dad calls and says, hey, when are y'all going to come visit us? Amen. Y'all live, you know, 30 miles from us and we hardly ever see y'all. I'm like, Dad, man, we're you know, with work and church and we're just so busy. Family time and just sorry. Well, we are a busy nation. We are busy individuals. Amen. But we can't get too busy to pray. We can't be arrogant. We can't be unconcerned about the people and their welfare. Amen. If you look back at Genesis, exactly which one it was. Excuse me, Ezekiel 16 and 49. It talks about neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy because they were so busy with their own life. They had things going on. Everything was happening in their life that they did not really concern themselves with the people who were in need the most. Amen. At the end of the day, God was more interested in how many people were righteous than those that were sinners. If only a few more righteous people had been humbled and not complacent, not concerned, and more concerned about their city and helpful to those that were in need, amen, there might have been a different story here. And today we live in a society of Sodom and Gomorrah. When this ruling passed, those of you who have Facebook, you've seen all the mess that was on there. And several people were like, oh, we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah and all this stuff, so on and so forth. But again, I want to redirect your attention that homosexuality was not mentioned in those words that while Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Even though now they have legalized that, they didn't legalize teen pregnancy, and it still happens. Amen? They didn't legalize people smoking dope, but it still happens. They didn't legalize people having relationships before they're married, but it still happens. We can't get wrapped up in, oh my goodness, this homosexuality thing, because sin is sin. Amen? Sin is sin. Sin is sin. If you go back and look at Genesis 18 and 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. He didn't say sins. He said, because their sin. We look at different things in our life and we say, oh man, this is bad because of this. We put labels on stuff. We would never get involved with murdering somebody, but yet we would. We talked about that this morning. We wouldn't pay our tithes. Amen? We wouldn't give in our offerings, but yet we would, you know, steal a pencil. We wouldn't want to be involved with all this stuff that we've labeled as bad sins, and we would just do these little small things. Amen? Is it the same? Sin is a sin. At the end of the day, you're going to be judged overall. Not for the big things that you've done in your life, but for the small things. For the medium things. For the big things that have to have a bicycle-sized box. Amen? Everything. So the title of my message tonight is Look in Your Own Backyard. It's time for us to start looking around at people and saying, oh yeah, you're doing this and you're doing this and you're doing that. When there's stuff that's happening in your own house, in your own backyard, that is holding you and keeping you from what God is wanting you to do. God has opened up doors for you and opportunities for you to minister to people, but yet you can't walk through those doors because of the things that are holding you back. Amen. We got to start looking in our own backyard. Once we got everything cleaned up, once we got our inside all cleaned up, then we can move forward and start helping people. Amen?
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother Grissom was here right now. He'll say, shake your head like this right here. Amen. But at the end of the day, God is more interested in the ones that are righteous than the ones that are unrighteous. I'm not saying that he don't care about those who have sinned and who are out there on the brink, because when he came to this earth, the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he's interested in those people too. I think this battery's finna go out. Having to pull it closer and closer. Eat it here in a minute. Right now, God is looking for righteous men and women to make a difference in the earth. He is counting on us to make a difference. He is counting on each and every one of us to make that difference in the world today. Why did he create you? We talked about this Wednesday night about John the Baptist, and he was a forerunner for Christ. And it's like we're the afterrunners now. John, the Bible says that John was sent by God. Do you think that you're sent by God, Brother Colton? Each and every one of us are sent by God to do something and to do the will of God that he has put forth into our life. He has entrusted us with the power. He has entrusted us with something that we can go and that we can share with somebody else. How vital is salvation to your neighbor? How vital was salvation to you? Very vital. Very important to our lives. God has instructed us and entrusted in us something that he expects us to use and to share it with our brothers and our sisters. But first, we got to look in our own backyard. Amen. We got to make sure everything's cleaned up in our life. We got to make sure everything is right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 14 and verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, And I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. Believe that God is getting ready to do great things in our life and on our behalf. I mean, look around you at your neighbor here tonight. Several months ago, you probably wouldn't have seen that person sitting beside you. But God is stirring some things. He's getting our hearts ready. He's getting the people ready for something great. Amen. Instead of looking at negative stuff on Facebook and all the stuff that's going on again with governments and societies and putting negative stuff on Facebook, I choose to be positive. I choose to look at the positive side about it. You know what? Since this ruling is just another opportunity for us to have revival. Amen. And for God to have his way and to cast those spirits out of people. Amen. To remove that from their lives and to let them live the life of freedom. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I know in our world today, we're so busy with life. We're so busy with things that are going on. We're trying to make a buck. Amen. How many go to work? We got jobs out here? Amen. You go to work because why? Try to make a buck. Hopefully more than that. Amen. Let's stand tonight. John 14 and 23, Jesus says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keep not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Let us remain humble tonight, church. Let us remain in the atmosphere and the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. But I want to encourage you tonight, and I want to recommend that you not look at all the negative stuff that's going on. Amen. I'm not saying you can't look at the news because you're going to do what you want to do. But it'll get you down. It'll discourage you. And instead of being discouraged, amen, and being negative about things that are going on, let's be on the positive side of it. But in order to do that, we got to get everything out of our backyard. I watched a video on Facebook a while back. It was this minister. He was talking about all these nice vehicles and stuff. And, you know, he would open up the trunk and one of them, and man, it'd be clean in there, immaculate. I mean, just nice. Then he'd move over to a couple of other ones. And soon he got to this big escalator. And he opened up the back of it, and there was junk in there everywhere. And he said, sometimes that's how our life is, that we have collected so much junk over our lifetime and our years that we can't even put anything else in there because there's so much junk in our trunk. Amen. To be honest with it, though, we got to look in our own backyard. There's things going on at some of our homes and some of our lives that we need God to work on. And before we can start criticizing other people, as the Bible say, before you try to pull out the plank in your brother's eye, pull out the beam in your own eye. Amen. I want you to know that I was talking to Brother Grissom this afternoon, and he said, brother, what you said this morning is so true. And he said, what we are doing when we preach and when we minister, he said, we are helping the people on their journey. So when we preach here, we try to uplift you. We try to encourage you. We try to get you back on the right track. Maybe you've fallen off the week, or we try to get you on track. But that should be the job of every one of us here, is to try to help each other stay on track. To try to help our neighbors and our co-workers and our brothers and our sisters and possibly even our moms and our dads to get back right. But first and foremost, you can't help nobody else until you get your life right. Until everything is at home is in order. Yeah, you can encourage somebody even when you're feeling down. I've been encouraged by several people who don't even go to church. But to fully impact their life, you need to be full of the Lord. You need to be living for God. Amen. I open up these altars here. Like Brother Lee said, the altar can be wherever you want to stand, wherever you want to kneel, wherever you want to pray. But if you want to come around the front here and pray tonight and just get everything back in line with the Lord. Lord, help me to inspect my backyard, Lord Jesus. Help me on my journey, God, to keep your commandments. These things, God, that are going on around us, we ask that you would not let us get us down, Lord. Help us to not be discouraged, Jesus. But let me get my life right with you, Lord. Whatever it takes, whatever the cost may be, Lord.